and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today, we are with Spay and Save. And from Spay and Save will be Chris Daniels, the president, as well as Kimberly Shaw, the secretary. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
So, Spay and Save. Let's give the audience a little idea of what it is all about.
Well, Spay and Save is one of the oldest rescue groups in the area. We started in the late 70s. Became incorporated in the early 80s, and a woman named Peg Baines founded the organization. She was a teacher at Olney High School, and she and her colleagues would go out from teaching, you know, from at high school, and find all these animals that were on the streets of Philadelphia, and they would bring them home, get them the vet care they needed, feed them properly and so forth, and find homes for them. And Peg got the very bright idea, and she did all of the paperwork of incorporating so that she could accept donations and help to pay for all of this that she did.
Wow, and forgive me for not introducing Jennifer as well.
Yes, she's a very important part of Spay and Save.
Yes, Jennifer is a
jug. Yes.
So that's a mix of a Jack Russell Terrier and a pug.
Yes.
See, I learn something new every day. That is awesome.
She's available for adoption.
Yes, she is. She has her adoption vest on and everything. Oh. And she is 9 months old. She is spayed. She has all of her vaccinations, her flea treatments, her everything. She's all ready to go to a home.
That is so nice. Now, would someone who would be interested in adopting Jennifer, would they go to a website or would they give you a phone call? How would they go about doing so?
Yeah, sure, they could do either one. Our website is www.spayandsave.org. And there are tabs where they can see all of our cats listed and all of our dogs listed that are available for adoption. And there's also a tab where it says, you know, apply to adopt. So they would just fill out an application online, and then we'd get in contact with them.
So, Kimberly, you've been with Spay and Save for 22 years, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Give us an idea how you got involved and how you're here today with us.
Sure, so in 2001, I walked into our local Petco store and I saw a volunteer taking care of the cats in the store. And I started talking to the volunteer, and that's how I started then cleaning cages in that Petco, and I started fostering and started processing adoption applications. And so that's how I got involved with the organization about 22 years ago.
Now, I'm curious, like you mentioned Petco, a big conglomerate that's national. Is it an advantage of going with an organization like Spay and Save? Or like, I'm looking for the difference between Petco or Spay and Save if you were looking to adopt an animal. Or I think Petco you'd have to purchase, right? Here, there wouldn't be a charge, am I right?
So all of the stores like Petco stores and PetSmart stores, they have different organizations that adopt out cats in their stores. So those conglomerates don't adopt out themselves. They always have a rescue in their store.
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So yes, we're all rescues.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it's so much of an advantage to be in with a store like Petco or PetSmart or Pet Value, who's now closed. And also smaller ones like Rutrose in Conshohocken, in Trap, Perk Valley Pet Eatery, the smaller stores that help us out because they do not charge us board. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they provide the food, the litter themselves, and it's free advertisement. It's just a win-win situation all around, and we're very grateful to all of our merchants who do this for us.
Now, I'm not sure who could answer this one, but animal-wise, could you adopt any type of animal, or is it just cats and dogs?
We have cats and dogs in our organization.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if there's other animals that could be thrown into the mix because, as you know, some of these big pet stores have multiple animals
right.
in them,
right.
But that's good. Is there seem to be, especially during the pandemic, we know people were adopting pets at an alarming rate. Mm-hmm. Now that the pandemic has subsided, have we seen a slowdown at all, or is it how has the organization been handling it?
Well, thank goodness we haven't seen very many returns
that's
at
awesome.
All. But we have seen a slowdown in adoptions. And I don't know if that's just because it's spring and everybody's getting ready for vacation or the end of school or what have you. Mm-hmm. But our adoptions have slowed a little bit this year.
And I'm guessing people are getting out and about more. They're having other things to do. And it's, you know, it's a lot easier when you're able to stay home from work and take care of a young pup.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
So that worked to...
And worked to our advantage,
Definitely. That's pretty impressive. So dogs and cats, what seems to be more popular? Is it an even mix?
So we adopt out more cats than dogs. So I think we adopted out about 330
last year
and about, was it 46 dogs last year. And part of that is because we are in, you know, 6 pet stores in the area, but the dogs can't stay there, but the cats are on display all the time. So, you know, we get a lot of adoptions, you know, by our cats being on display because people can interact with them and, you know, and then they fall in love. So the dogs we do bring to adoption days on the weekends, but so the cats have more exposure than the dogs.
And is it just because of space? Is that the reasoning why? Because they don't want to keep the dogs cooped up in a small space in a facility? Is that why cats are a little bit more conducive to that?
Well, they have to be walked. The dogs have to be walked at least 3 times a day. And we'd have to have volunteers going in to do that. Plus, the barking is always an issue with neighbors. I know we have one of the merchants, a City of Paul's in Manayunk, who have done very much for us, adopting out adult cats especially. But they would have the issue. They're very close to another merchant on the street, so they'd have the issue with the barking and things like that. You know, the zoning, that type of thing.
Well, you did mention volunteers. How's that been working out for the organization?
We have about 150 volunteers in our organization. And it is a 100% volunteer organization. So no one, you know, the volunteers with Spay and Save, you know, is paid any money. We all kind of have the same mission to save as many cats and dogs as we can.
That's pretty cool. Do you guys meet on a regular basis at all? And is there any type of camaraderie since you're all volunteering your time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of camaraderie at adoption days every Saturdays. You know, and we have a flea market coming up, so we'll have a lot of people get together for that. And then we also have coordinators meetings. Yeah. So we kind of have the meeting and then we have some fun.
That's and we have some wine too.
Ah, that's nice. You can't go wrong there. I've always wondered when you're volunteering for such a nice cause, there's like, especially Jennifer, an adorable little pup. How hard is it for you not to say, oh, I'd love to take this one home, you know?
It's very difficult.
We have a lot of foster fails when they start fostering and then they fall in love and they adopt it themselves, which is also wonderful.
It's wonderful, but then we lose a foster home.
So if, and the question I was getting at, so if somebody wanted to be a part of this and volunteer, how would they go about doing so?
Yes, the same way.
To go to our website and
fill out a volunteer application.
They can click on, you know, apply to, you know, volunteer with us, or they can call our main number. Either way.
So I understand there is a board. So you're the president and you're the secretary. So is there a vice president and treasurer?
We
should give them their due. As we
Janet Lynch is our wonderful vice president. She's very tech savvy. She comes from a pharmaceutical background. I know one of the questions that you had asked before was what are the backgrounds of a lot of our volunteers. Come from a myriad of backgrounds, but Janet is from pharmaceutical, Kimberly's from pharmaceutical. Our dog division coordinator and our treasurer, she's both. She works at a facility for brain injured adults and does this in her spare time, quote unquote.
Wow, that is awesome. But we also forgot to introduce Cassidy, who's back behind us. Cassidy's another feline who's up for adoption, and I think you know a little bit more about her.
Well, Cassidy is presently at my house. I'm fostering her. She is a 2-year-old domestic short hair female, orange and white. She's spayed, has all her vaccinations, and she's ready for a new home.
And someone looking to adopt Cassidy, how would they go about doing so?
Simply by going to our website, www.spayandsave.org. Or by calling us at 610-277-6187. and inquiring about her. She's very laid back. She's a very, very nice guest. She does not make trouble, except when the other cats get in her face, and she will coexist with them peacefully. And as you can see, she does not seem to be bothered by dogs.
No, not at all. And Jen's not even bothered by Cassidy.
She gets along very well with
yes.
them. Yes.
That's phenomenal. And that goes the same for Jennifer as well, right? She
yes.
is up for adoption.
Oh, yes. And she's been up for adoption for a while. We're hoping we can get a home for her that fits her, and she fits the family. She's good with children. She's good with adults. She likes to run. She is very energetic, but she's learning her commands. She's completely housebroken. And she's just an all-around good pet.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. So is there, and that's a good point, is it a lot more difficult to adopt a dog over a cat or vice versa?
It would depend on the breed.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually the smaller dogs are a little bit easier to adopt than the bigger ones. Or unfortunately, the pit mixes that have such a bad reputation and are one of the nicest breeds available.
I'd be more curious on when somebody's applying for an adoption, what's that process like? Because it's a two-way street.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so how stringent can you be? Like, you just can't give Jennifer away to anybody.
No.
You know, that there has to be some type of guidelines, right?
Yes. Everyone must fill out an adoption application to begin with. And if we like what we see on the application, we contact them. Or actually, everybody gets contacted. But the head of our dog division, Jenny Schaefer, who is also our treasurer, she will review the applications, see if they have a fenced in yard, see if the particular breed requires a fenced in yard, do a veterinary check. That's very important if they have had pets previously, and then do a showing at their house. Everyone must be present in the family at the showing. Everyone must be on board to adopt the animal. And then we go from there and to see if we leave him or her for a trial or what have you.
Yes. Well, one thing I think that we should make note, there are economics involved. And that's like someone watching this program, like, oh, Jennifer, she's so cute. But there's, like you mentioned, the vet costs nowadays aren't what they used to be, I guess, is a nice way of putting it. And Kimberly, you might know more about that being the secretary. You must see that firsthand.
Yes. So we don't charge a fee to adopt from us, but we do accept donations to help, you know, cover the costs of all the vet work that we've already done, including the spaying and neutering and shots, et cetera. But yes, that is something that, you know, people have to have in mind, is that even though we may have done all the vet work up until right now, you know, they should always take them to their vet for a well visit. And, you know, they should take their animal to the vet yearly for well visits, you know, even if the animal isn't sick or injured or anything. So that is something people have to keep in mind when they adopt.
It, does Spay and Save have a certain group that they deal with in terms of veterinarians, or is it anybody that's in the area can be a part of the group?
Well, Kimberly is in charge of the spay and neuter certificates. We do that as a public service, offer discount neutering and spaying at one of our participating vets. We have, what, 20 vets, Kimberly?
About 15, although some have different locations.
Okay. Right.
So it's 20 total, but about 15 different vets.
And we have to send a shout out to our wonderful veterinarians who do the most for us, which is Dr. Jonathan King at Steinbach, Dr. Lori Portugal and her staff at Critter Care, Dr. Andrew Bruder at Plymouth Animal Hospital, and Dr. Ravi Maraca at Compassion Veterinary Hospital. These wonderful veterinarians, without them we could not exist. They do things for at a discount cost for us. Also, they get in our animals for spaying and neutering and other things. They fit them in besides doing their own practice, which is very tough these days.
Right. And the fact that they're already dealing with pet owners that already have other pets.
Yes.
And there could be some type of matchmaking situation.
Right.
Which is a good thing, because as we all know, pets don't live forever.
Yes.
And if one's about to expire, there's a new pet that can fill that void. There you go. Right. Yes. Nice segue there. That's pretty good. So that's nice. You know, it's the circle of life, as they say. So yes. And it's good that you gave the veterinarians a shout out, because they should be commended for the work that they do.
They're wonderful. Without them, we can't exist.
Yeah. And that is nice. But I know their costs must be going, and that's why I asked about the economics, because you'd say, oh, I'd love to take Jenny home, but there is a cost that comes along, not from spay and save, but just to maintain a healthy dog's life.
A healthy animal.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's something that people always have to keep in mind.
And thanks for bringing that up, Jen.
Yeah. So, but the work that you're doing is fantastic. I think that's great. The thing that baffles me is you've been around here for so long. We finally got you on our program. Like, you've been involved in the farmers market, and that's a good thing, because you're getting out and you're being recognized, right?
Yes.
And you feel that when you are at a farmers market, you get a lot of visibility?
I think so.
I think we absolutely do.
It's the same thing with our adoption events that we hold every Saturday. And other annual things like our flea market that is coming up, and people invite us to these beef and beer things. They invite us where we can bring, and wineries are a very big thing nowadays also, and they do allow animals, they do allow us to bring the animals in there who are up for adoption.
Yeah, I've noticed that wineries and breweries now are very pet friendly.
Yes.
And that's really opening the door for people who do have pets, that they could spend the day, especially if they have an outdoor venue. It's very nice.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And we also have adoption events at malls. So the Plymouth Meeting Mall, the King of Prussia Mall, and the Limerick Outlets as well.
Yes.
So when you have these, especially at the mall, is there a certain number of animals you can bring for adoption, or do you try to fit as many as you can? Like, I'm curious about the space, you know?
Well, when we were at the King of Prussia Mall, they actually wanted us to bring as many as possible.
Oh, wow. That's why I asked. I'm thinking, I wonder how this is going to work.
And all the cats, you know, are in cages, because we want to make sure they don't get loose in the mall, and the dogs are on leashes. And the same with the Limerick Outlets. You know, they encourage us to bring as many as, you know, we basically have volunteers to bring.
That's pretty, that must be good, that at least people are coming out and looking forward to you to showcase what you're able to provide, right?
Yes.
And forgive me for not asking, where are most of the animals coming from? Are they locally, or are they coming from other parts of the country?
Most of our cats come from local rescuers whom we work with, and I have to send out a big shout out to our rescuers also, who actually go into the bad neighborhoods and trap them and bring them to the vets, and then if they're friendly enough, they come into our organization. But these are the people that are out there all times of the night and day, checking on their traps, trapping them, bringing them in, and they deserve a huge thank you.
Wow. We gave a nice foundation on the organization and how people can get involved. But I think the one thing that I find to be curious is, if someone was coming to the shelter and they were looking for a dog or a cat, is there certain qualifications that you're looking for? Like, say, like, let's just say like a 21-year-old girl, are you gonna steer her away from like a border collie or a bigger Saint Bernard, I don't know, like, you know, a bigger dog or a smaller dog? How would you go about doing so there?
There's so many factors, Chuck, and our dog division, Ginny Schaefer, Kathy Natalini, Mary, Kate McInerney, they're so good at doing this and matching adopters to the pet. We're looking for, a lot of times, a fenced-in yard for like a breed like this, who are runners. We're looking for, do they have tiny children? Do they have older children? What, you know, breed is best with the children? Do they have an elderly person living with them? We don't want a breed that's gonna trip the, you know, get underfoot and such. We want somebody that has the time to spend with them, to train them, if they're not totally housebroken or, you know, that type of thing. And everyone who has had pets before has to go through a background check, like a veterinarian. A first-time owner, we always come out to the house, try to educate them as to what to do with the animal, where to keep the animal. We are big proponents of crate training also.
Okay.
So.
And I'll be remiss to not introduce Jennifer again. She's a 9-month-old
jug.
A Jack Russell pug mix, as
yes.
well as Cassidy, who's back here. So we don't want to forget about you two, because you're like the stars of the show.
They absolutely are.
Yes.
They're both available for adoption.
Speaking of stars of the show, there's another nice segue. The foster family, what are the qualifications for that? Because they're the ones that are fostering these pets before they're up for adoption, right?
Absolutely. You want to take that one, Kimberly?
Sure. I mean, we ask anybody who wants to volunteer for our organization to fill out a volunteer application on our website. But in terms of fostering, it just depends if they want to foster cats or if they want to foster dogs. But in general, let's just say somebody wants to foster a litter of kittens. We do like them to have a separate space from the rest of their pets. You know, in that way the kittens can play together, et cetera. We also do vet checks on the people who want to foster to make sure that they take good care of their own pets. And if the animals would require any veterinary care, Spay and Save would pay for that.
Everything.
But they're providing us a space for the animal. And same with a dog in terms of, you know, qualifications. Again, it just depends kind of if they have other dogs. Do those dogs get along with other
yes.
dogs? You know, so we try to match them with the right, you know, pet for their situation.
Yeah, how difficult is that? Because that's the first thing I thought of. Like, say I have three dogs, but I'm going to foster a litter of kittens. You got to be like, whoa, let's take a step back here, right? Like, how is this going to be handled?
Yeah, and if they have a separate space, that works out well. And
yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes, you know, especially if we have the mom who's nursing the babies, we'll even provide, you know, like a very large cage that's like 3 stories, you know, because the mom is going to be very protective of her kittens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so they like space so that, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, another animal harming, you know, the babies.
So if you were a foster and say you did have a litter of kittens, I'm just thinking about this. And how about if somebody came and wanted one? Is that going to be a problem? As you mentioned, the mother is going to be very territorial. If the mother's there, I guess, is there, you have to take them all, or how's that work?
No, I mean, we wait until they're, you know, 8 weeks old, because
okay.
at that point they're finished nursing. And then usually at that point, we will separate them so that we can get the mom spayed so that she can then be adopted out. And in terms of, do you have to adopt more than one? It really just depends on the situation. You know, if there's someone who's working 10 hours a day and they don't have any pets in their household,
mm-hmm.
we don't necessarily recommend them just adopting one, because a young kitten cannot be left home alone all day. If they adopted two, that way that kittens can entertain themselves and play with each other and wear each other out, that works out well. Or if they already have another cat in the family,
sure.
you know, they can just bring in one, you know, or if they're home, maybe if they work from home, then yes, it would be fine to adopt just one. So it just depends on the situation.
Right. Yes.
And that's the same, I guess, with a dog too, because you don't want a young kid, like a 22, 23 year old kid, getting a young puppy and then leaving them in the home all day,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's the same
yes.
situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's what really I found curious. The people that are fostering, what's a good way of putting this? Is there a time frame on how long they're fostering these animals? Because how about if you have a cat that's there?
And we've had them.
Oh,
we
okay.
do have them.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially
yeah.
older cats, you know, take a very long time to adopt.
And
some of
yes.
them don't show well, you know,
yeah.
at adoption events. So we can't bring them to adoption events. So again, people have to find them on our website. So it takes much longer. But, you know, if they go on vacation, there's always somebody else that will foster the pet for them.
They're never stuck.
Yeah.
We're always there to back them up.
I'm thinking more about the emotional attachment, because if you're with a cat for 3, 4, or 5 years, there's a psyche there, because you're spending a lot of time and you're investing a lot of emotion as well. And mm-hmm. how about when they do get pulled away? That's got to be something that It's got to be very interesting.
Yeah, well, our volunteers always have the opportunity to adopt if they want to. Okay. But luckily, we almost never have animals for that long.
Okay.
But sometimes it could be a year, you know, if it's, again, an older cat.
And when they're fostering, the food is covered by the organization,
yes,
correct?
Yes, all supplies are covered by the organization, unless they themselves want to do that and make the donation to the organization. But all the veterinary care and all the expenses are covered by Spay and Save.
Right, because I know, especially cat lovers, they're finicky with their food. There are certain foods that they would rather prefer over others, and I'm not sure what brand they're...
Mine aren't too fussy.
Oh, okay.
Usually when they come off the streets...
They'll eat anything.
They're not anything. Yes, they'll eat anything. They're hungry.
Well, you know, and you mentioned you have like over 150 volunteers. What's the breakdown in terms of the foster... towards the there's a difference, right? If you're volunteering, you're also fostering, or you're doing fundraising or adoption papers, the whole nine yards.
Never is there... enough fosters.
Okay,
never.
That's the hardest.
This is the hardest thing to find, because exactly what you were saying before about the emotional attachment, people say to me, I cannot do it. I can't have an animal in my house and then give it to someone else.
Right, that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, wow, you have to be very stern and strong, because it's tough not to get attached.
Absolutely.
You know, even after a week or two, especially if they perform and they're nice and they get along well, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know. So I like to say, since we're wrapping up the program, and this is something I'm looking to adopt, what would the process be if I wanted to take Jennifer home? What would be the first step?
Well, the first step would be to put in an application. Everyone has to do that in the organization. I have to do it if I want to adopt. Then we do a background check, a vet reference, the area in which they live in, do they have a fenced in yard, that type of thing. And, and it's basically an interview. A lot depends on the interview. A lot depends on the feeling we get when we're talking to people and what they say about the former pets they've had, what happened to them, have they given them away, have they taken them to a shelter, that type of thing. And then if everything goes okay, we bring the animal to the house and make sure all the members of the household are present. And if it is a good fit, if everything goes okay, we leave the animal there on a trial basis.
Oh, okay. So someone watching this program, they want to get involved with Spay and Save. How would they go about doing so?
Sure. They can go to our website, which is www.spayandsave.org. And there they can find, whether it's a volunteer application or an adoption application, or they can look at our available cats or dogs. They can do everything through our website.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank the two of you for being here today and the great work that you're doing. Once again, it's been Spay and Save with Chris Daniels and Kimberly Shaw. I'm Chuck Curlin. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Take care.